Amen. I hope you have your dancing shoes on this morning. No, do you? Okay, all right. I'm just kidding. I got mine on. All right, you know what time it is? Not peanut butter jelly time. It's confession time. Right? It is confession time. I'm a believer. Not a doubter. Strong in faith. Giving glory to God. That was good, but we need to be a little louder. I'm a believer. Not a doubter. Strong in faith. Giving glory to God. Amen now. That's what I'm talking about. That was good. I could hear you. How many of you know when you confess something, it means that you're telling everybody about it, right? You're making it known to the world, right? And sometimes we need to speak things that aren't as though they were before they happen, right? I know we're going deep starting right off. Sorry. Okay. In Romans 4 in 17 and 18, referring to Abraham, it says this. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. According to what? According to what was what?
Spoken.
Spoken. Now, when Abraham looked around in that moment, did he look to be the father of many nations? Did he look to be the father of just one? No. But contrary to hope, he believed. And so he, and then it became. Oh, you guys are getting this. Your voice is the vehicle used to proclaim God's word so that his blessings flow. Like a faucet of faith. Your mouth is a faucet of faith. Say, I have a faucet of faith. Now you guys remember me. Like we got to interact here, right? Because it gets too lonely up here. You guys ready to talk some this morning? Is that okay? Okay, good. Excellent. I heard that down there. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're just stirring up faith this morning, guys. We're getting ready. How many of you know that you can expect to receive something from God when you come to church? Yeah, can you? Yes? When you came here, you didn't just, I'm just going to go to church. No, you came here to receive from God, right? Have any of you ever been so excited to, like, say you either made or bought somebody a gift? And you were so, so excited to give it to them. You know what I mean? Like you almost gave it away. You were so excited. Anybody? Yes? Kind of like when my 3-year-old Bella. Yeah, right there. It was about Christmas time. And giving away my secrets here. But we would store, we'd keep our Christmas gifts that we'd already purchased in our bedroom closet, right? So little Bella walks into our closet, and she comes running out, so excited and so happy, with this big cupcake maker in her hands that I bought for my other daughter, Taylor. And she loudly proclaims throughout the whole house, Taylor, Taylor, look what you got you. There goes that surprise. You let her happen to you? But here's the thing. I kind of picture Jesus, anytime that we would come into his presence, anytime we go to pray, anytime we go to worship, anytime we go to read his word, I feel like he's holding out this gift, right? He made it, he created it, just for you, just for me. And he is so excited to have you open it, he cannot even stand it. And he's holding it out, just waiting for you to take it, right? Are you expecting this morning? Because everything that you could ever need or want or ask or imagine is in that gift, in his word that he's given to you. Do you believe it? Amen. I believe it. Oh, are your specters turned up yet? Yes? No? Wow, you guys are, you're tough this morning. You're quiet. Let's pray. God, thank you. You are almighty. You are awesome. God, we call upon your name and your word this morning, God, and we thank you for being here with us, God. You say that you inhabit the praises of your people, and you love to meet with us. So, Lord, we're here to meet with you. We came expecting. We are excited. We got our dancing shoes on. And, Lord, this moment, we choose joy. So, God, speak to our hearts by your word today. Let us gain everything that you put into today's word for us. We thank you for it, God. Thank you for everybody in this room, for meeting every need in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Okay. So today we continue our series, second weekend, called Soul Rescue. Now, did everybody get a lifesaver when you came in? Here you go. You can have mine. So that is just a little itty-bitty reminder to remind you about the series that we're in. Now, I'm really sorry they don't make candy called Soul Rescue, but this is the closest as it comes. Lifesaver, okay? Soul Rescue. You got your lifesaver. All right. That would be pretty weird if they even had candy like that. But okay. So last week, Pastor John started us off, right? Did you enjoy last week? So good. If you did not hear him, go back and listen to the message because it was so super good. First week, Soul Rescue. And when I was listening to his message, I was like, I took it in as a whole, you know, and I was like, Lord, show me just the whole focus, the point of that message. And the point of that message really was the salvation of our soul, right? He talked about how we could either starve our soul, strangle our soul, or, do you remember? Surrender. And that was not in a good way, by the way. How many of you know hell's no good place? It is no good place. So this week, if it's all right with you, we're going to continue talking about the soul, but we're going to talk about the soul struggle. Is that okay? Okay, excellent. Moving on. So to begin with that, we want to just set the foundation of what the soul is. Okay, we're just going to go right back to the basics. I'm going to ask a few simple questions, and then we're going to move on. Is that okay? Thank you. Michael, got you. Thank you. So, question. Is your spirit the same thing as your soul? Is it? No, it's not. But you know, I had to ask that question because several years back now, I guess, I'm getting a little older, I used to think they were the same thing. But they're not the same thing. Otherwise, there wouldn't be scriptures such as Deuteronomy 6:5 that says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, spirit, with all your soul, your thoughts, your will, and your emotions, and with all your strength, your flesh." Say this with me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. One more time. I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. And my body is just a little bit sparkly today. Is yours? Just kidding. Okay, so if you remember last week, Pastor John, he started us off and he said, I have a soul. My soul is inside me. You can't see it, but it lasts forever, right? It lasts forever. So those two line up. That is so good. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit," two separate things, "between joint and marrow." Any nurses out there that could tell us how much space is between the joint and marrow? Not a whole lot, is there? There is not. "It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So, very simply, the soul, everybody say the soul, is the thoughts, the will, and the emotions. You can say that too if you want. The thoughts, the will, and the emotions. Done. Got it? Moving on, point two. We'll be out of here in 5 minutes. No, just kidding. What? Point two, why? Why does your soul need rescued? Everybody say why.
Why?
No, say why.
Why?
Thank you. Rescue is an act of saving or being saved from danger. Okay. So is hell a place of danger? Yeah. Okay. I suppose that's a good reason that we would want our soul to be saved, right? Because, see, our soul, again, our thoughts, our will, our emotions, are going to either surrender to the spirit or to the flesh, right? Two choices. That's all they get, right? Okay. Now, Romans 8:1. And I know you guys could all repeat it with me, so we'll just say it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are... Okay, now, the problem here is a lot of people just stop there. And they're all celebrating. Woo! But they forget there's a comma. Oh, and a hole. Don't step in that. Someone, make note of that. There seriously is a hole on stage. Okay. Hallelujah. There's a comma. I can lose my... Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who, again, everybody say who. Walk, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Again, you have two choices. You're either going to make a choice from your spirit or from your flesh. A little further in Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile or hostile. What do you say? Hostile. Okay, to God. Another translation says enmity. Now, do you know what that is? That is like active opposition. That means it's always against the other. It does not submit to God's law, the flesh, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. See, your soul needs rescued because of this constant struggle between the spirit and the flesh. The enemy would like nothing more than for you to surrender your soul to him. True? True. Okay. So as I was preparing for this, you notice I didn't come up with any props. I usually have props. So I need some people. I need my people. So I asked my friends to help me. I asked my family to come up and help me today. So I asked my husband and my beautiful daughter to come up here and help me just for a moment. Woo! They're looking good. Hi, beauty. You are my flesh today. And I know you love that word. Well, we'll go to this side because we are this side for service and they complained. Okay, so you are my flesh today and you are my spirit, my heart. Okay? All right. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I just got this picture and it looked just like this. So I'm the soul, okay? I'm standing in the middle. And with every thought, with every decision, with every emotion that comes in play, I have a choice whether to submit to the flesh or whether to submit to my heart. That's a whole nother message. Okay. All right. You get caught off in traffic. Of course, my very first tendency is going to be to go to my spirit. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's actually going to firmly grip my flesh and be like, oh, what are you? Oh. But then you remember you're on your way to church to preach and you figure, I should probably cling to the spirit. Okay, so all those actions, all those decisions, all those things that can happen in our day to make a day what it is, right? Circumstances happen. Okay, so the doctor says you have 6 months to live. My flesh is really screaming at me and telling me what it's going to be like without my family and really bringing worry, and I don't want to take that upon myself, so I'm going to choose to cling tightly to the Spirit, because the Spirit says that by his stripes I was healed, that nothing shall by any means harm me, that so no matter what's happening over there, I'm trusting you, God, I'm going to stay over here with my spirit, my heart, and I'm going to believe and choose to trust what the Word of God says about it, right? How about one more? I don't know about you guys, but we kind of all kind of like our own way, right? Kind of like to have our own way. Oh, it's just me? Right. So, I don't get my way. I kind of tend to do this. But then I realize, you know what? No. No, that is not what God would do. He would put himself away and put himself last. Put himself down and choose to do the right thing. So you see that? Soul's in the middle. Constant struggle between the spirit and the flesh. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. It just helps me having the visuals, you know? Okay, so in just a minute, I'm going to show you a clip from a movie from The Shack. Okay? Now, before I show you that clip, I thought we might set it up a little bit. I should give you a little background of it if you haven't seen it before, just so that you can see where we are in this clip. Is that okay with you? Okay, I do want to warn you, the clip is a little bit intense. It's only fair to give you that warning ahead of time. All right, so the main character, his name is Mac, okay? Mac goes on this amazing camping trip with his three kids. Okay, so they're having a great time. Cookouts, bonfires, s'mores, everything great that comes along with a camping trip. And in the middle, in the midst of him actually saving two of his children from a canoeing accident, actually dives out into the water and he's saving those two children, he comes back to shore to find out that his littlest one, Missy, has been kidnapped and her life has been taken. So this clip just happens to include a flashback from that scene. Let's go ahead and roll it. Roll it.
It's okay. Why are you doing this to me? This isn't me. You told me to come out here. Mac, this is happening inside you. You're letting it consume you and you don't have to. Just take a deep breath and listen to my voice.
Don't look at it, Mac. Look here.
Don't think about the past. Don't think about the pain. Look at me. Everything's gonna be okay. Look at me. Trust me, none of this can hurt you. Just keep your eyes on me. Breathe. Good, Mac. I'm not going anywhere.
Get you out of this boat.
What? You heard me.
This is not funny.
I'm not joking. You can do this.
I can't.
Not on your own, you can't.
I was thinking.
No, Mac. You're imagining a future without me, and that future does not exist. I promise to go with you always, right? And I'm right here.
Good, right? So I know that movie sparked some controversy, but I have to say that especially that clip revealed a lot to me, or I feel like it revealed a lot about me. Have you ever been in that same kind of feeling ever before where you just feel like absolutely panicked and anxious and you feel like things are closing in on you and you can think about anything else but peace in that moment? It's very, very difficult. Anybody else? Man. I love in that moment how the character that portrays Jesus comes and he comes and talks to Mac. And he says, No. What's happening right now? It's happening inside of you. Take a deep breath. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the pain. None of it. None of it can hurt you. He says, look at me, trust me, right? Because he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus. And shouldn't that be what we're always doing? When we get in those moments, those gripping moments where truly it takes everything within yourself to rip yourself out of that and say, oh God, I choose to trust you. Luke 10:19 says this, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Over what? All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have scripture to stand on for that, don't we? No matter what happens, he's always there. He will always help you. You see, the pain of the past can only penetrate your present or your future with your permission. Let me say that again. The pain of the past can only penetrate your present or your future with your permission. All right, are you ready to do a little talking again? Turn to your neighbor and say this. I'm not going to live in the past anymore. And that was good. I mean, it was good. It was okay. This time I want you to say it again, but I want you to look in their eyes and spend at least 5 seconds looking in their eyes, saying it. Go. See, and I already saw things happen, which I was going to say, you might need to turn to that person and just give them a great big hug, because that little saying just could have gone a whole lot deeper than they ever expected it to go. I'm not going to live in the past anymore. Can you change your past? So why are you trying? Can you change your future? Yes, you can. The enemy will try to convince you that you are still that person of the past. It's like he has this ongoing DVR replay that keeps continuing to show you who you used to be. But don't you think it would be good if we could just look him in the eyes and say, I'm not going to live in the past anymore. Right? He would like to replay that over and over until we would cave into believing his lie that you'll never make it and you're never going to be enough. So how can you get your soul rescued? Everybody say how. We know the what, we know the why. Now how can I do it? How can I change it? How can I get from living in that place of the past and come to a place of freedom? Ephesians 4:22. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, some of you might be asking, like, what does that even mean? Renew your mind. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Like, what? How? By praying, I've got to stay away from the side, by worship, and by reading the word. Everybody say prayer, worship, reading the word. Again, prayer, worship, reading the word. Again, prayer, worship, reading the word. All right, how many of you here were here for our first services when Eric Hansen was here? Yeah? Awesome, right? So good. And he gave us, like, I think it's called an acronym, Michael. That's acronym. Yeah. Okay. We got it. Okay. Acronym. Did I say it wrong? Okay, good. TGDS. Remember? Trust God, do something. That was what he said, right? Trust God, then do something. Pray, worship, read the word. Okay, but how many of you know sometimes maybe we think we've been doing those things and it doesn't seem to be helping or working, or maybe the way that we're aligning our day and the times that we're choosing to meet with God, it's just not working. So sometimes we need to TGDSD, trust God and do something different. Right? Sometimes we need to change it up a little bit, because sometimes what we're doing just isn't cutting it. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm telling on myself, but I can tell you, when I've had one of those weeks where it just seems like everything is not so great, I can tell you, I can look back on that week and say, man, I sure focused a whole lot on the problems rather than praying, worshiping, and reading. In that moment, I needed to do something different, and I would have seen a better outcome, right? It's a choice. When we listened to that song, it was, I choose joy, right? It isn't always the easiest, right? Oh, this is so great, God. Everything's going terrible in my life. I'm choosing joy. I'm choosing joy. Oh, awesome. I just got some worse news. Awesome. Great. My best friend decided we're not friends anymore. This is great. God, anything else? Okay. What? Oh, I'm going to choose. Okay. I'm choosing joy. I'm still choosing joy. I'm still choosing joy. I'm still choosing joy. One decision, one choice, continuing the same good common pattern in choosing joy. Speak those things that be not as though they were. It's going to get better. It's going to be okay. God says, look at me. Trust me. Okay, God. All those things happened this week. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I trust you. He is going to work it out, you know. He is. Amen. I was reading an article by Kenneth Copeland a while back, and it was an article on faith. And he said this. He said, to speak by faith is simply to speak words that agree with the word of God instead of the circumstances around you. It's speaking from your spirit instead of from your mind. Remember the struggle? Speaking from the spirit instead of the mind. My mind's got a whole lot of things to say sometimes. And it just needs to just stop. And I need to speak from the spirit. Show love. Show grace. Show kindness. Take God at his word. Choose joy. One choice. Sometimes when we try to clean ourselves up, we try to do it all at once. Man, we don't just take a step. We dive in. And then we look at ourselves, we come up out of the water and be like, oh, but nothing changed. Just one step. One step at a time. That same clip. What happens? He gets out of the boat. Do you remember when Peter was in the boat? And he looks at Jesus and he says, oh, Jesus, I would that I could just come out of that water. What did Jesus say? Come on. Can you imagine Peter? Like, what? Like, kind of like that guy. Whoa. Okay, all right. And he said, he goes, what do I do now? Start walking. We're not always going to make the best decisions. It isn't always easy. We're going to fall to the flesh. Probably a lot. But we can make the next best choice. We can make the next right choice and walk according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus and who don't walk by the flesh but by the Spirit. So how can you be rescued? By choosing to believe what God's word says about you and not what the enemy has tried to convince you. So before I came out, it was intentional. We played that video, Joy, for by King and Country. And I love what the news anchor says at the very end. She says, well, while our circumstances haven't changed, our perspective has. One choice, one step. Are you going to believe what the news says? Are you going to believe what the doctor says? Are you going to believe what those who are against you say? Or are you going to choose joy and choose to believe what God says about you? Because it's good. He created you in his image. Yeah, he gave us different skin, different tents to live in. You were created in his image with purpose. Choose joy. Now, I'm not talking about that joy that comes like when your mom delivers real Wisconsin cheese all the way from afar. That's happy. I'm talking about the joy that bubbles up down from your feet, up through the top of your head, that you can't even contain it. You can't hold it. You got to share it. You got to tell somebody. That kind of joy. Some of us have just forgotten what real joy feels like. Psalm 118 and 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 13:5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." Psalm 5:11. "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Just start walking. Start walking. Stand up with me this morning, please. Are you ready to choose joy? Is it going to be different when you take that first step out the door? Because you choose joy. If you would just put your hands out in front of you, just like when I talked about Jesus getting ready to give you that gift. Everything you could ever need, want, ask, think, or imagine that he has provided for you. I want you to put your hands out like you are actually truly ready to say, "Yes, God. Yeah, I want every bit of it. I want healing. I want joy. I want to believe what she's saying, God. Help me. Help my faith. Increase my faith. Rise up within me, God. Help me, Jesus. I'm ready to receive all that you have for me. I will seek you. I will learn from you. I choose joy." So God, today, bless this church. Every single person in this room today, God. Up full to overflowing, God. That joy would bubble up from their toes to their nose. That they would be a true blessing to every person they come in contact with. That they remember the struggle of the soul. It's real. The spirit and the flesh. But that we would choose to make more right decisions and follow the spirit and not the flesh. We walk according to your word, God. So God, I thank you. We receive everything that you have for us today, God. And I just ask that you would bless them again abundantly, full to overflowing. Fill any lack with provision, pain with healing. In Jesus' name, have a great week. Be blessed. Choose joy. In Jesus' name.